Good afternoon. If you would be, please be grabbing onto your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 9. Our study will come from Daniel chapter 9 this afternoon. I'd like to say a few things before we start our reading and before we begin the lesson. First of all, I'd like to thank our God in heaven for this opportunity, for the good measure of health that He's given to me and that He has seen fit to give to you. I'd also like to thank the elders who serve and labor here at Westside Church of Christ. I know very little about what goes on here for this youth lectureship. I am on the outside looking in still. I've been exposed to some things this weekend, but I want to say that everything that has taken place leading up to this day and to what we're doing right now, I know a lot of work has gone into this. And I want to thank the elders first and foremost for getting all these things in line, for moving this along, and for making it what it is today. I also want to thank each and every one of you, and I mean that with all my heart. I wanted to say thank you to every one of the precious souls that are here today because you've decided to come and to be here on a Saturday afternoon to be a part of this effort, to sing songs of praise with God's people. And I wish I had time to visit with each and every one of you and to tell you personally how much that means to me. As a servant of the Lord and as a Christian, you need to know that when you come to a place like this to do the things that we have done, that you make an impact on everyone else who has come. I am mindful of my two boys. They are 13 and 11 years old. And they can look out over this group of people who have gathered here and know that both young and old have come to worship and to serve the Lord, that they believe in the true and living God, and that we're not alone. We have a congregation in Austin, Texas, where members of the church gather and we serve the Lord with all of our hearts. But I wonder about our boys. Do they know that it's bigger than just the local effort that we're a part of? You better believe it is. You're a living testimony to that very thing. You have decided, you've made an effort to be here, and I do not take that lightly. We will not waste your time today as we present God's Word to you. We want to talk about Daniel. I was thinking about our young people and what they may think about when they hear the name Daniel. And I know for me, when I was younger, I thought of the lion's den. Remember, King Darius was tricked by the satraps and the governors and the advisors to write a decree that if anyone were to pray to a god or to any other man other than the king, they would be thrown in the lion's den. And they were trying to trap Daniel. And they say, speaking of Daniel, we cannot trap Daniel unless it has to deal with the law of his God. What a fantastic testimony from his enemies about who he served and who he loved. It says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 11, these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God, and for that reason he was thrown into the lion's den. We know the story. We know that Daniel did not die in that lion's den. He was preserved all through the night and was saved. The king comes running out and says, Daniel, has your God preserved you and kept you alive? And he says, yes, king, he has preserved me. And they threw those wicked men down into that lion's den, and they devoured everything. All of them, because those lions were hungry. What a testimony of Daniel and his faith. But I want to look at Daniel chapter 9 with you as we begin this afternoon. And beginning in verse 1, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and to all of the land. Daniel will get on his knees and begin to pray to God. And he says, I understood by the books. And that's what I want to look at and focus on this afternoon. Daniel A prophet of God studied the Word of God. That is amazing to me. Because when you're a prophet of God, you know, when the Lord wants to talk to you, you know what He does when you're a prophet? He talks to you. He comes to you and He talks to you. It doesn't matter if you're ready or not, or if you've prepared yourself. The Lord will come to you as a prophet of God, and He will speak to you the things that He wants you to know and that He wants you to say to His people. And yet this prophet, please take note, this fantastic prophet that is preserved for us to think about today, he studied the Scriptures. We read together. Daniel said, I, Daniel, understood by the books the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet. I want to show you something in the book of Jeremiah. Hold your finger in Daniel chapter 9. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 25 for just a moment. Daniel, the prophet of God, is reading the prophet Jeremiah. And he knows that the truth of God is preserved there. That is a very important point for us today. Jeremiah 25 and verse 11 says, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. Remember, this is Jeremiah's writing. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass, when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So I will bring on that land all of my words, which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all of the nations. The Lord tells us that He will bring on that land all of His words, which He pronounced against it, all that is written, where? In this book, in the writing of Jeremiah. Daniel has a copy of this writing, and he is reading it, and he can calculate, and he can know that the Lord is about to move. This is very important for us to know and to understand as we study it this afternoon. Look at Jeremiah 29 with me. Maybe he read it from here. It's not the only time Jeremiah says that they would be there in Babylon for 70 years. Jeremiah 29, beginning in verse 10, please read it with me. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Daniel has this prophecy, 70 years. He knows that the time is at hand. We read that in Daniel chapter 9. And he is praying to God. And God has told him in His word now that when you pray to me, when this time comes, I will hear you. I will be listening to you. Daniel believed that. Daniel had the prophecy, he read it for himself, and he believed the words of God that were written by Jeremiah the prophet. And it brought him to his knees. This is crucial for us today as New Testament Christians, as we think about the power of prayer and how important it is for each and every one of us. I mentioned as I began that there are so many precious souls here today who have come to hear God's word presented. He cares for you. He knows who you are. I won't be able to meet all of you because time will not allow it. And yet God knows you in an intimate way. He knows where you live. He knows what your cell phone number is. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And He loves you and He cares for you. So when I look at Daniel, the great prophet of God, I can take note that when he read God's word, he was drawn to prayer. Remember what Daniel said in Daniel 9, verses 3 through 4, he says, I set my face toward the Lord God to make request, and I prayed. And if you want to look at a fantastic prayer, there's another example here in Daniel chapter 9. You can read down through that. Consider this great prophet who was found righteous and was not devoured in the lion's den, and yet he says, Lord God of heaven, forgive us, for we have sinned. He includes himself. He knows he's just a man. He knows that God is holy, that he is perfect in every way, and he cries out to him as a sinner, we have sinned, we have transgressed your law, you sent your prophets to us, we would not hear, we would not listen. He takes accountability for all that his fathers and his forefathers had done. He understands who he's talking to, and we have to understand as well when we go to God in prayer, what that means for us, and that we know who it is that we are speaking to. I understood by the books. I hope you know by this point that anyone who studies God's Word diligently and increases in understanding should be moved to constant prayer. That is a given. Let's turn over to the New Testament. And again, I want you to hold in Daniel chapter 9. We're not done yet with Daniel, but look over at Luke 11 with me. Let's hear what our Lord and our Savior has to say to us. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. Watch very closely, please, with me. Jesus says, "So I say to you," we need to be listening, "ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread, and any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here in Luke chapter 11, we see Jesus saying, not just, "Oh, by the way, you guys need to be praying." That's all he would need to tell us. You need to be praying. You need to be asking, making those petitions, those requests to God. He cares for you. He knows you intimately. He loves you. Pray to God. Ask him. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Jesus is saying something to us because he loves us and because he wants us to pray. Then he says to us, he gives us an earthly comparison that we can think about. Which one of you... Now he's giving it to us. Which one of you, being parents, if your son asked you for bread, would hand him a stone? Now, some dads have a fantastic sense of humor. So I don't want to put it past any dads to have a stone in their pocket and maybe just pull one over on their son or their daughter just for a moment. But I want to say to you that it's far more serious than this. It's far more serious. Jesus says, you're wicked. You know what's right. Why aren't you talking to God? Why aren't you praying to the Lord? Which one among you, if your son asked for food, would hand him a serpent or a scorpion? None of you. Take note of that. This is not a kid who ate breakfast, say 30 minutes ago. You get in the car, you're headed somewhere, and he says, "Hey, there's a McDonald's. Can we go to McDonald's?" He said, "No, son, we just ate." We live in a life where we are far too privileged to understand what's being said here. I see a son who's hungry, and he's in pain. His ribs are showing. He wants something to eat. Now, he knows where to go. He knows where to go for sustenance because his father's given it to him before. And so he looks up to his dad, and he's shaking and he's trembling from weakness, and he says, Dad, I'm hungry. Will that father give him food? He's either going to give him food or he's going to die trying. Because he loves his son. "You're not going to die on my watch, son. I'll find food. I'm going to go get some food. You stay here. You conserve your energy. I'm going to do what's best for you." And Jesus says, now you think about that. You think about that seriously and deeply and know that our Father in heaven is far greater than any of you parents who would give your last breath of life to offer food to your child, to give them one more day of hope. He is Almighty God, and he wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. And the great shame of this is too often as he sits ready to listen, no one is reaching out. No one is calling out to him. And I want all of you to know that you must be praying to God. You must be thinking about God and knowing that he cares for you and loves you and be reaching out to him in prayer. He has given us a way that we can go to him and earnestly seek him. And we should be using that every second as we have opportunity. Look at Mark chapter 13 with me. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. Mark 13:32 says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is." Now, our situation's a little different than Daniel's, isn't it? Daniel read from the book of Jeremiah, and it said, "After 70 years, I will return and I will bring my people back." Daniel had a clock. He was watching. He knew the time that would come. Jesus tells us, be careful. No man knows the time nor the hour, not even the Son. Therefore, what shall we do? What are we supposed to do about this? Take heed, that means pay attention. Watch, be on your toes with outstretched neck, looking for the return of the Lord, because you do not know when the time is. Watch and pray. That is Jesus' request, his command for all of us. His exhortation to us is to be praying because you don't know. The Lord knows. We do not. Therefore, watch and pray. Look at Luke 21. We'll go back to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21:34 says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore," here we are again, "and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." You know, Jesus just told us that it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. And yet we are right here. We understand by the books. We are reading it together from God's eternal word that Christ is coming. We should be watching and we should be praying. And he says to us that we are going to be caught off guard. And that scares me to death. Because we still have our books open. We still know and we still understand what's been said to us. If you have your Bibles open still, look at Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, says that Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Then he gives them the parable of the persistent widow, that she goes to this judge over and over and over again, and he finally says, "Lest she weary me, I'm just going to do what she wants me to do." Jesus concludes after that parable saying that we should always be asking and beseeching the Father, but look at verse 8. Luke 18 and verse 8 says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" When the Son of Man comes unexpectedly and a snare to the world, will he even find faith on the earth? That is a direct challenge on every soul who is here today. You know why? Because we are the last generation as we know it. There will be a great interruption in human history. No man knows the day of the hour, but it is coming, rest assured. God has told us that it is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. We are the last generation. What are we doing with our time? Are we praying to God? Are we watching? Are we on our toes with outstretched necks, expecting the Lord to return? Or have the cares of this life, drunkenness, carousing, these things gotten the better of us, that we are not watching and we are not praying? Are day after day after day going by when I have not been on my knees in prayer, beseeching the Lord, when I just finished studying about Daniel and knowing how he sought the Lord? May it never be so. I am challenging every soul in this room. Remember what Jesus said. It is an eternal truth. It is up to us. If we are the last generation, just ask this question. If we are the last generation of this earth, how did we do? Jesus says, will he really find faith on the earth? There is nothing in this world we can take more seriously than this watching and praying that Christ has commanded us to do, because he knows that as life's way goes along, we are bogged down with things, we are pulled back by the humdrum way of life, and it is a serious problem for us, and it is for us as Christians. Listen, I want you to know that God loves you and he wants to hear from you. I realize that we are speaking a lot to the youth who have come to be a part of these lectures, but to every soul who is here, God loves you and he wants to hear from you. Look at Philippians chapter 4, We'll just use a couple of verses. And I hope you know why I'm doing this. The New Testament, we're going to read about prayer. The title of the sermon is I Understood by the Books. I'm taking all of us somewhere, including me. Philippians 4 and verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We considered this passage yesterday evening, but we'll look at it again. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You've read it for yourselves. By the books, God loves you and He cares for you and He wants you and He expects you to cast your earthly cares upon Him. He wants you to share those things with Him. Look at James chapter 5 with me, please. James 5, beginning in verse 13, we will read six verses together here, but we'll see the word pray or some form of it seven times in these six verses. James 5 and verse 13 says, is anyone among you suffering? This is the word of God. Understand what's being said to us. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Remember to pray. As we've read just from these few passages, plus all of the other ones that we will look at and have looked at in this lectureship, you will see and you will understand by the books that we are to be before God in prayer and to be seeking Him out for all of our cares and all of our concerns. Remember what Daniel said. I understood by the books, and I prayed. Go back to Daniel 9 with me. We'll go down to verse 19. We read through verse 6 as we began. Daniel 9 and verse 19. This is the conclusion of Daniel's marvelous prayer. He says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name. Now, while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Please take note of verse 23. What Gabriel says, he flew swiftly to Daniel while he was praying. It says, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. Daniel doesn't know that. He didn't know that when he began to pray. He did as was his custom. He got on his knees and he faced the direction of the Lord God of heaven as he knew it. And he prayed to God earnestly. He beseeched him and he asked him and he begged him to forgive him of his sin and to forgive the sin of his people. Now Gabriel stands before him and says to him, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. Went out where? To who? We have to remember that our Father, our God in heaven, He is in heaven and He moves and He orchestrates things, and so many of them are ones we are never aware of. They're not made known to us. But we need to think about our prayers, and when we beseech God and we go to Him in prayer, as Christ has told us to go into our closet, into that personal place, do you do that? Do you speak to the Lord? You'll find that oftentimes you will be broken down into tears. You are confused, you are saddened, you are frustrated by what's happening in this world. And yet, as was pointed out last night, you have a direct line of communication to the Creator of all things. He loves you and He wants to hear from you. Imagine when you began your prayer, when you said, "Dear God," the command went out. Daniel is made known, and so are we, by the way. Daniel is made known of something else taking place when he went to God in prayer. Daniel took prayer seriously, and a command in the heavenly realm went out as one man got on his knees and began to pray to God. You are not too small. You are not just one person. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You love the Lord and He loves you. He has paid the price for your soul. Talk to Him. Talk to Him as much as you can. It's never a waste of time. He loves you and He wants to hear from you. Before we turn to 1 John, I want to show you something else. In verse 23, Gabriel says, after he says the command went out, he says, "I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved." If you go to chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, "And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved.'" Verse 19 of Daniel chapter 10. "And he said to me, 'O man greatly beloved, fear not.'" Did all these great things happen because God loved Daniel? Sure. I'm sure that that's part of it. The Lord did love Daniel. He preserved him in the lion's den. But we're told over and over again that Daniel is greatly beloved by the Lord. Look at John 16 with me just for a moment. John chapter 16. In verse 26. Jesus says, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I come from God." Jesus has told us that God loves us and that he does want to hear from us. Remember, Daniel, "O man beloved." Now Jesus, the Son of God, who comes down from heaven, has told us that the Father loves you because you have loved me. He loves you and he cares for you. Look at Luke chapter 7 with me. I just want to show you another passage. I think this is very powerful for all of us to consider. I think this is important also for our young people, because when you look at the Bible, we have books of the Bible that are named. Daniel, obviously, would be a case in point of this. The book of Daniel. The Lord loved Daniel, recorded the things that Daniel wrote. The Lord loved Jeremiah. These are big names. But look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 7 and verse 26. "What did you go out to see?" He's talking about John the Baptist here. "A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Now Jesus says of John the Baptist, "For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Jesus Christ tells us that there is no prophet greater than John the Baptist. Of those born of women, no prophet is greater than John the Baptist. And you have to say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a second. I can think of prophets who worked great miracles, called down fire from heaven. David was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel was a prophet. The greatest prophet of all prophets born of women? That's what Jesus has told us. I have my own reason to believe that. I believe that John the Baptist spoke with the most clarity. The most light had been shown of all the prophets to John the Baptist, the only prophet of God who could extend his arm out and point to the Messiah and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The greatest prophet born of women. Greater than Daniel. And yet, what does Jesus say? "He who is least in the kingdom is greater than he." You're not just one person. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You love the Lord with all of your heart. Talk to him. Pray to him. Seek his wisdom and his will for your life. He who is least, if you are the least of all Christians on the face of the earth, if you're the least, you're greater than John the Baptist because you have confessed the name of Jesus Christ, you have repented of your sins, you've been baptized and washed in the grave of baptism, you've come up a new creature knowing that God has cleansed you of those sins, you walk in faithfulness before God, and he wants to hear from each and every one of us. My hope and my prayer for this lectureship as we move forward and as we finish this out is that each one of us will be more earnest in our prayers and our opportunities that we have to go to God in prayer. I've given you a last verse that I'd like to read with you and for you in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. We've read in the Bible together all of the great things that God has for us. And now you, if you hadn't before, you understand by the books. 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked to him." My hope and my prayer for each and every precious soul here today is that we will pray more than ever, more earnestly than ever, and deeper than ever. Thank you all so much for your time, for your careful consideration. It's truly an encouragement to me to be a part of this. Thank you very much.